Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests. Viewpoint.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, the 1st of April, which means it is Viewpoint, Talk Radio Europe's current affairs programme with the panel where we discuss the issues of the day. Joining me live in the studio today, former AB correspondent Nathan Thomas. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning, Giles.
Columnist and broadcaster Roslyn Scott Gibb. Good morning to you, Roslyn.
Good morning, Giles.
And for the first time, we have a newbie on the panel. Join us, actor and musician Yas Agar. Good morning, Yas.
Good morning, Giles.
Good to have you with us. If you want to get involved with the show, 952-784-4000 is the phone number. Studio at talkradioeurope.com is the email, and the Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. Going to be looking at a variety of subjects today, including the latest coming out of the UK with regards to Brexit and trade deals, the Diana tapes as well, perhaps be looking at the issues of transgender people as well. But first of all, we're going to kick off with the new version of the Game of Thrones, apparently, otherwise known as what's happening in the White House. People are coming, people are going, and winter has indeed come for the former White House head of communications. Nathan, your take on the past, well, the past 24, even 12 hours across over in the White House.
Something like that, yeah. It's the middle of the night there, so probably nothing will happen for at least a couple of hours. But, I mean, it's musical chairs in the White House again. I mean, Scaramucci, who 10 days ago was appointed as the new communications director, yesterday is out amongst a bunch of changes that Trump is making. He brought in General Kelly to replace Reince Priebus as the chief of staff, and apparently it was Kelly who said, there's no way I'm going to deal with Scaramucci, because Scaramucci in his first 10 days, which people say actually the job didn't start until August 15th. So he really wasn't fired because he really didn't officially work there yet.
Right.
Although the day it was announced, he took over and started saying things that really were so out of line. I mean, he started talking about firing people. I mean, he's the head of communications, not the head of personnel for the White House or anything else. He announced that he had his only boss was not the chief of staff, but only Donald Trump. He had a direct line to Trump and would bypass the chief of staff. Then he did an interview where he was very vulgar, attacking Reince Priebus. All of this, didn't do well. And apparently Kelly came in and said, you know, I'm going to bring order to this, which is supposedly why he was brought in as the new chief of staff. Whether he can or not is a big question, but it meant Scaramucci in 10 days was out of a job. Now, this is a man, and I'm not saying I feel sorry for him at all, but he has tried to get into the White House in a position close to Donald Trump ever since Donald Trump was running. He was big in the campaign. He was a big supporter. He admitted in an interview the other day that he was very disappointed when he didn't get a job right off in January when they were putting the administration together. He finally got a big job right close to the president, and in 10 days he blew it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, do you think that Scaramucci may have been put in as a if you like, a patsy to get rid of Priebus? I mean, that seems to be, he'd been in there very, very quickly. Roslyn?
I know. First of all, I would like to say that I didn't think it'd be possible to find somebody who was as obnoxious as Trump. And from the moment Scaramucci was in, he has shown himself to be incredibly obnoxious. I mean, to have this, I don't know if he was drunk or on drugs or something, when he had this interview with the New York Times where he's saying, I'm not going to suck my own blank, blank, blank.
Yeah.
And yes, but when he was asked, do you want to keep this on record? He said, yes. And he was just, his whole language was incredible. So it's amazing that he was so ambitious that he sold his company. He dumped his wife and he did all of these things to get into the White House, and to behave in the way he did in the first 12 days is quite astounding. But I think there's another reason he was fired. I mean, I think John Kerry obviously wouldn't have put up with him. And I think Trump didn't want somebody sharing the stage with him. And of course, this guy was taking center stage, and Trump never, ever goes for that, does he?
Nathan?
Well, again, Scaramucci, when he did that interview that shocked so many people, I mean, Trump said he didn't see anything wrong with it. He thought it was fine. I think Scaramucci was playing what he thought was the game that Trump wanted him to play. Trump actually said something about, well, Priebus should have fought back. You know, again, let's get this all out in public. Let's do it in the media and let's do the screaming and shouting. That, of course, Trump now has said, oh, no, the remarks were inappropriate. But that's, you know, a week or more after the event. For a while, it was fine. Now, suddenly, Trump has, again, changed his mind.
Yeah, but the reason it's not fine now is because Scaramucci did take center stage for a week. And he definitely, I think, that was part of it. But I think that... I mean, the language, there's absolutely no excuse language.
You could argue that, are we not in an administration where locker room, he could say, well, this is just locker room talk, this is a sort of the Sopranos, the guys are in the office, you know, and this is the way we talk, we've got a new way of doing things. Everybody else used to hush up things, and we're going to deal with the media in this way, and we're going to shoot from the hip and tell it like it is, and that's what Scaramucci did.
And then, of course, Scaramucci... he was absolutely in love with Trump. In his first public speech, he mentioned his love for Trump 15 times, I think it was. But he also, what was I going to say?
I'm not sure what you're going to say, Roslyn. But, I mean, this is, again, it's very...
Oh, yes, he wanted to encourage Trump should be more Trump. No, we don't need Trump to be more Trump. We need Trump to back down and be less Trump.
But again, it seems to be it's if you like, some people are saying this is the court of Donald. But you know, he demands fanatical devotion to his cause. Yeah, what's your take on this?
I feel that a lot of times when reshuffling and events such as those happen, it always feels like there's a decoy. So it's decoy to redirect the attention of the public to something much more frivolous, and then we focus on the speech, on what was said, and what type of vulgarity was spoken, really, whereas the attention of the underlying problem is just being covered and covered by such events, by such mini events. So that's my view on it.
The problem is it's a decoy after a decoy after a decoy, and they never get around to doing anything because they're so worried about all the decoys and everything else. It's, again, it is chaos, and they aren't accomplishing anything that Trump has promised or that the Republicans have promised. And those two things are not necessarily the same. Trump was running his own version of what we're going to do. The Republicans supposedly have theirs, and they're not necessarily, they don't always fit together, which is a problem. But the point is, neither one of them is able to do anything. The whole healthcare thing is an example of
Ross.
That.
And then of course Trump in the middle of all this say, no, we're running very, very smoothly and the economy is up and unemployment is down and our healthcare is in order. This is what we want it to do. We're going to run it into the ground and start from scratch. And he produces all these lies because the economy is in a good position and unemployment is down. But that's as a result, that's well before Trump even started. That's Obama actually gets credit for that.
I mean, the latest Trump tweet, I'm looking at his real Donald Trump tweeting. He's saying yesterday is, quote, a great day at the White House. But it's been quite a tumultuous couple of days at the White House. We've lost three seats, including, starting off with Sean Spicer, who went to the previous director of communications. Seems like a lifetime ago now. And then we've got Reince Priebus, and now you've got the Scaramucci going as well. So if it's hardly strong and stable at the White House. Nathan?
Well, that follows Flynn, who was in his position for 23 days. I mean, it goes back even further. It's been going on. You know, he fired Comey. It just goes on and on and on. And as you said, it is, I don't know whether it's a decoy, but it's certainly a distraction from actually doing the job that the government is there to do. I mean, it's trying to organize itself and can't even do that.
So what we seem to have now, though, is General John Kelly, respected figure, and they seem to be saying, right, and now the real business is going to take, this is a general, this is a military man, he's going to roll up his sleeve, he's going to really get things in order. Do you think that...
Like, 10 days ago, they said Scaramucci was the answer to everything. He was going to bring some order. He was going to fix things. He was going to put us on the right track. And you can't... Two diametrically opposed ways of doing things between Scaramucci and Kelly. If Scaramucci was the way to go 10 days ago, Kelly is now. I mean, it's just nobody knows what they're doing. And
besides, you've got this little core at the top, which Trump, who doesn't listen to anybody, and that's not going to change, his daughter, his son-in-law, and Steve Bannon. Now, he's the really dangerous one in the background, and he learned his lesson when he was on the cover of Time, and he just keeps quiet now. Well, he doesn't keep quiet. He keeps quiet publicly, so we don't know. But he's the brains behind all this, in my opinion, and many other people's opinion. I mean, if it was just Trump, Trump is very dangerous at this time because of his spontaneity. But Bannon is very calculated and highly intelligent. He's the brightest of the whole lot, from what I understand.
952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@talkradioeurope.com is the email, and the Facebook page, if you wish to leave a post, is Talk Radio Europe Official. Nathan?
Just to throw in, we were talking about the newest thing, and it keeps going. I mean, there is now a report in the New York Times, I suppose today, or maybe it was yesterday, I'm not sure, that Donald Jr.'s first explanation of his meeting with the Russians, which has caused such a furor, which, again, a lot of these things are done to distract from that because Trump wants that to just go away. And one of the ways to make it go away is take the spotlight off it. So he does things that put the spotlight on something else. But the point is, the story that has come out now, and this is not proven yet, but one has to think there may be some truth in it, that his whole first response, which has now been pretty much discredited and thrown out, that it was a kind of an accidental meeting and all we talked about was adoption and so on, that this was written by Donald Trump on the plane ride back on Air Force One from the G20 meeting, and he did it, which is going to, as far as the investigations into Russian interference with elections and Russian meetings and the whole Russian connection is going to, if that does come out to be true, is going to drag the president into something that he really doesn't want to be drug into, because then he is going to open himself up even more to Mueller and those investigations, saying, what did you know? What did you do about all of this? I mean, the lawyers have said he should have stayed away, which supposedly he said he was doing. But if this is true, I mean, it's just one more bit of chaos in the whole mess.
952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@talkradioeurope.com is the email. We've got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, it's Christine from Alveria.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I'm just listening. I'll step out of the room. I'm listening to the American guest who I listen to regularly. He's talking about the back-channeling that went on during the election. I think that it's been very, very well explained in the last week by Bill Browder. I don't know if any of you know who Bill Browder is. I'm sure your American colleague will. Bill Browder wrote a very brilliant book called Red Notice in 2012. He had the Hermitage Investment Fund in St. Petersburg and then had to leave Russia. He got the money out, but he is Putin's number one enemy. And he now got the Magnitsky Law passed. The Magnitsky Law allows or stops all ill-gotten gains from murders and oligarchs coming into America, and they're trying to bring it in Europe. His philosophy, and I'm inclined to agree with him, was that if the Russians could get Trump in, he would stop the Magnitsky Act, which has just gone through the Senate and Congress now. Now, the two people that were responsible in America mostly for getting it through the Senate in 2012-13 were Hillary Clinton and McCain. They both worked with Bill Browder to get that through. The back channeling was for the Russians to try and stop this act going through, which is sitting on Donald Trump's desk today. When they talk about the children, they're not really meaning the children. Look at Bill Browder's latest CNN clips. He's been on Farid Zakaria. He says that they refer to the children, but what the consequence of the Magnitsky Act was that Putin then stopped America bringing in and adopting children. which sounded very heartless. But the Americans were only allowed to bring in Down syndrome children and HIV children. So Putin then stopped it. So whenever the Trump family were talking about the children, they're actually talking about the Magnitsky Act, which is what the Russians desperately did not want to pass. And Donald Trump has to sign that today or tomorrow. If he doesn't sign it, the Russians will throw him under the bus. And if he does sign it, the Republicans will be very happy.
Thank you for your call in there.
Look up Bill Browder. He's brilliant.
We'll look up Bill Browder, as you say. Yes, he's brilliant. Thank you very much. Cool.
Tribute, actually. It was very interesting with Zakaria. He's a fantastic journalist and writer. That is interesting, but it would still have to go in front of the Senate. Even if Trump signs it, it would still have to go under them.
Well, the whole thing is very complicated. And another issue just in this whole Russian kind of package is the additional sanctions that have been passed by Congress. And Donald Trump has said he will sign them, which, of course, seems to go against his whole warming up to the Russians and so on if he signs more sanctions. But what Congress has done, and this is both Republicans and Democrats, have passed a bill that basically is veto-proof. Mm-hmm. Because when Congress passes a bill, the president has the chance to veto it, but then Congress can override the veto with a very, very strong vote to override. It's much more than a 50%. I forget whether it's, 60, 70, 75%. But this bill has already passed into law with a vote large enough that the president, if he does veto it, it's already the veto won't hold because they have voted it in with a margin wide enough that it will go into law. So Trump is stuck with the idea of, does he veto it and then face the idea of his veto being overridden, which is an embarrassing thing for any president, or does he just realize that there's nothing he can do about it and sign it and make it sound like, well, this is what I wanted anyway, which, of course, does not please his friend Putin.
And the other thing is, of course, Putin, as yesterday's Metro in the UK said, Putin the Putin, with the expulsion of over 700 diplomats from Russia.
Well, he realizes, again, with this sanctions bill, that he is not getting let's go back and assume that Putin wanted Trump to be elected. Trump denies that. We don't know. Putin hasn't said what he wants, but that was the appearance. But with Trump agreeing, not necessarily willingly, but stuck with the idea of he's going to have to put these additional sanctions against Russia, Putin is saying, fine, I've lost with this. I'm not going to get what I want. I'm not going to get the respect of being treated as he wants to be a top world leader and all of that. He and Trump have very much the same ego problem. They want to be respected. They want to be loved. They want to be put up on a pedestal. And he's not getting that from Trump, because Trump is being forced, in this case by Congress, to put additional sanctions against Russia. So he's retaliating. This is the way he's done it. Now, somebody did the numbers, and we don't actually have 775 diplomats in Russia, but the number is there. That what they're assuming that includes is also Russians who are working for various American programs that were there. He throws out one diplomat, and that closes down the whole program, and that means that there are, probably 50 Russians who are out of work, but that's his problem.
Well, they did say there's over 1,000, but of course it's just numbers, and we've got no idea of knowing, but they said it was over 1,000, but the pictures they focused in on Putin, which again may not be accurate, showed him being very miserable if he has to enforce this. He doesn't want to throw out 700 diplomats, I'm sure, but he's feels he's put in a position where he has no choice. But I don't see Trump is going to have any choice either. He's going to have to sign this.
Well, according to Nathan, Putin just wants to be loved. Yeah, as your thought on this, do you think Putin needs to be loved?
He should be loved. He should be loved and embraced.
I don't think he's that egocentric. This is my opinion, but I think he's much more methodical and much more crafty and thinks ahead 10 years. I think he's way ahead of Trump. I don't think the two of them can be compared at all. He's, I mean, he's interested in he's interested in power and control. Love, I don't think, is very important to Putin.
But do you think then perhaps we're looking at a long-term strategy coming out of Russia rather than, you could say, a knee-jerk reaction strategy coming out of the White House at the moment, Nathan?
Well, Rosalind. Well, I think the long-term strategy for Putin was to get Trump on his side, and make as many changes as he could, and make inroads into Europe. And now, at the moment, he's not able to do that. He's being stopped by the Senate.
9527 84000, the phone number. We've got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Costablanca.
Good morning.
Morning. Specifically to Nathan, because he's most likely to know, I've always been puzzled by the sanctions imposed against Russia and what was intended to happen. And normally if you go on an aggressive line, you have some idea when you stop doing it, you know. Why did the Senate need to vote on this, and what is it expecting to happen as a result?
Well, I think what they're trying to do is punish Russia for interfering in the election, which there is general agreement that Russia, to some extent or other, and you know, the specifics are still not known and probably never will be, but I think the feeling in Congress is that Russia tried to mess around with our election, and these sanctions will punish them. I think it goes that far and really no further. I mean, there is the argument, and always has been, that sanctions really don't work, and in many ways they don't, because they very often hurt people who aren't involved in whatever country is getting the sanctions put up against them, and the leaders who you are really angry at or trying to change their attitude or their opinion or their way of doing something aren't really that affected by the sanctions. But I think this is the one thing the Senate could do to show its anger and displeasure with Russia. We'll just slap more sanctions on them because they couldn't think of anything else to do.
And the no time limit and when it stops?
No, I don't think so. I haven't read the entire bill, but I mean, it is, you know, I think it's just a, you know, this is what Congress can do. We can put sanctions on them. And it, like I said, this was not Republican or Democrat. This was a bipartisan thing. And they had a very strong margin of victory as far as passing this bill, so that the president really cannot veto it. Or if he vetoes it, the veto would be overridden. And it's just Congress's way, who worries, I think, more than certainly this White House does about the whole idea of somebody messing in our elections. Now, that's not to say that the U.S. doesn't mess in other people's elections. Everybody does it to whatever extent they can, but just because they do it doesn't mean they're going to allow other people or welcome other people doing it to them. And Congress looks at this over a much longer term than right this minute, which is what Donald Trump kind of deals with. So they want to, you know, make it clear that they are angry that Russia did this, and it all got out. I mean, everybody knows it happens all the time, but this one got much more blatant than it has in the past, and this is their reaction to it.
Thank you.
Thank you for that comment, Kate. 952-784000, the phone number, studio@talkradioeurope.com, the email and the Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe Official. On the email, Liz has written and she's saying, it's so silly, this Scaramucci thing. You're trying to analyse this logically, but you can't analyse logically something that is totally abstract. What's interesting is what's behind closed doors. I keep on wondering whether Trump is truly crazy or that this is just a play. I'm under the impression that he is like the Joker from Batman. He's obviously not stupid because he did become president and he probably has a great team that got him there. So not being stupid, it must mean that there are some plays behind the scenes. There have been speculations that the official show is just to distract the masses' attention from other things. I can't help but wonder whether he just got back at Scaramucci for the comments Anthony once made. Anyway, I am sad that Scaramucci has gone. I think he's a good communicator in spite of the insults. studio@talkradioeurope.com is the email. 952-78-4000 the phone number. And if you want to leave a post on the Facebook page, it is Talk Radio Europe Official. Sad that Scaramucci is gone, Nate.
Well, she makes a very good point that of the distractions, and we talked about this before. The big question is Donald Trump doing this knowingly and has a plan somewhere in there? Or is it just a matter that Donald Trump wakes up every morning and starts off on whatever he thinks of, and it becomes a distraction because he's gone off into left field picking some other topic that, gee, we weren't even dealing with that, and now all of a sudden it's the news of the day because Trump did a tweet on it this morning. Is he does he plan this, or is it just, you know, spur of the moment? And if anybody had the answer to that, that would answer a lot of questions of what's going on here.
Well, I certainly wouldn't give him that much credit. I don't think he plans ahead at all. In fact, if he did plan ahead, he wouldn't be in the situation he is now. He's, in my opinion, and all indications are that he's totally spontaneous and just it's indicated by people close to him that he listens or he speaks out from the last person he's spoken to. I mean, that's how deep his thinking process is. And there was an article written by 35 psychiatrists in the U.S. that say that feel there's a responsibility to speak up about his mental state, and they think he really is seriously ill and off balance and dangerous, absolutely dangerous.
Safe to say, yes, excuse me, that we've never seen a style of presidency like this.
No, definitely. I mean, what Nathan was saying is interesting, because on the contrary is what you think. I think he's very smart, but smarter is the group of people he was surrounded with who give him the capacity to develop such strategies and decoys, and because it seems that as the campaign, presidential campaign was going along, and then he became president, all the lies, all the plays, all the dirty, you know, the dirty games now suddenly come to an end. And it seems that his teams of publicists and people behind are it's going too fast for them, and they have to put out fires left, right, center. And this is what we're seeing at the moment. And it's just proving that eventually this house of cards will just collapse. And then, you know, it will be either Trump left or his toupee, one of the two.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
You're listening to Viewpoint, Talk Radio Europe's current affairs program, with a panel joining us in the studio today. Yasser Gerr, Rosalind Scott Gibb, and Nathan Thomas. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@talkradioeurope.com is the email, and the Facebook page, should you wish to leave a post, is Talk Radio Europe Official. We're going to go back across the pond to look at what's been happening in the UK. It may be the quiet period, traditionally the quiet period, as Parliament goes on their well-earned summer break, allegedly. But there is still pretty much a lot of movement, a lot of news coming out because of because we're less than 20 months now until Brexit, and until before the UK officially pulls out from the European Union. Philip Hammond made a statement that everyone agreed on a transition period as long as 3 years on Brexit. This was then denied by other cabinet ministers. So apparently there is no agreement on what the UK is asking for or demanding in negotiations. We've heard this coming out of Brussels as well. We would like to have a discussion if we knew what the UK was talking about. However, we've got a caller on the line. I go straight to the phones. Good morning. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello. My name is Felix.
Good morning, Felix.
Okay. Good morning. I want to draw your attention back to the election and two of the issues. He campaigned on quite a number of issues, but two of the issues that he campaigned on was immigration and Russia. On immigration, he was concerned about how illegal immigration and immigration in general can change the demography of a country. In other words, a country can lose its culture. And on Russia, his main point, as I remember, on the election was that Russia was a very strong country with tremendous nuclear firepower, and he continually said, why be an enemy if you can be a friend? If he could be a friend of Putin, it would be much better than be an enemy of Putin.
Yes.
And this was at a time when Mrs. Clinton was referring to Clinton openly as being a fascist. So the situation was not good. Now, if I could turn back now more recently to the vote in the Congress and the Senate.
Yes, Senate.
Only four voted against. It was unanimous, which means that now Trump has been completely overturned on Russia. He cannot carry out in any way what he promised to do in the election. America now is very much on a war footing. Russia is certainly on a war footing. And the situation looks very bleak. Situation in Venezuela also looks very bleak. America is now a country very much on a war footing. And whether Trump is leading this war or is just completely paralyzed is a moot point now. I would like you people on the panel who continually run down Trump to make some reference to the opposition that Trump has faced, especially from the media, especially from the New York Times, right down through the various TV stations like CNN, CBS, and so on. And he has faced tremendous amount of lies, tremendous amount of agitation against him. For example, just to finish this one example, the BBC led that day that Trump had a second meeting with the Russians which hadn't been declared. This second meeting that he had was actually a banquet which was put on by Angela Merkel, in which everybody spoke to everybody. There was 20 heads of state there. Everybody spoke to everybody. And it was being photographed, etc. It wasn't secret in any way. The BBC introduced it as being a meeting with Putin that Trump had kept hidden. You see, these kinds of lies have been going on and on and on, and Trump is now a paralyzed president. And America is on a war footing with a neocon Congress and Senate, and Trump is now powerless. And
Felix,
I would say that the situation is very grim.
Thank you. Thank you for your call in, Wes. Lots of comments there coming in. Good to have you back with us, Felix. We had wondered where you had been. Just some Trump, we are on a war footing. We're on a war footing. Trump is on a war footing. America's on a war footing. Does any of the panel want to come back onto any of those? Let's move on then, because we had moved on. We're back after this, in fact.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
That's right, Viewpoint with me, Giles Brown. Talk Radio Europe's live panel discussion show with me, Yesagard, Rosalind Scott-Gibb, and Nathan Thomas. And thanks for the calls in. 952, wherever you're calling from, 952-78-4000 or studio@talkradioeurope.com is the email. Don't forget, you can listen to this show again at 6 o'clock if you missed some of the points. We're getting away from President Trump, and we're going back to the latest developments coming out of the UK. We still seem to be no nearer to what the government stance is going to be on Brexit. Nathan, your thoughts, please.
Well, this is, again, just showing how complicated it is, and that the UK has not yet apparently made up its mind what it as a country really wants. You've got factions fighting with each other within the cabinet openly. As somebody on television said the other day, while the cat's away on vacation, the mice will play. And I mean, Hammond has his opinions, which are not secret by any means. But he is at this time making announcements that other people are saying, no, you can't say that because I didn't agree. Don't say that I agreed. So the point is, when Brexit happens in 2019, is there going to be a transition period beyond that of he was talking about 3 years where people will, immigration will not be in effect, or control of the borders will not be in effect for the UK. And others are saying, no, that's not true. Others are still saying that as of 2019, bang, that's when it will happen, whatever it turns out to be. And the UK can't figure out what it really wants, apparently, unless this is all just done for public consumption and deep in the negotiating, they know exactly what they want and are trying to get it.
I mean, with the UK press at the moment, the Daily Choreograph says that Number 10 has moved to soothe cabinet nerves and rein in Chancellor Philip Hammond by appearing to contradict his suggestion that free movement of people would continue after the UK leaves the EU. The Sun, however, attacked Mr. Hammond, saying he's starting to prove a liability with every speech and interview, an accident waiting to happen. And the Sun, in its own style, urged the Prime Minister to tell him to belt up. But meanwhile, former Conservative leader William Hague, writing the Telegraph, said Hammond deserves great credit for suggesting a transition period after Brexit, during which several aspects of the UK's relationship with the EU would be broadly similar. Yaz, your thoughts?
No, yeah, it's along the lines of what you just said. Because, I mean, there is miscommunication, and the immigration minister, Brendan Lewis, said that free movement would end by March 2019, but then Amber Rudd, the Home Secretary, and Hammond coincided in clarifying this and saying that EU citizens could travel into the UK, but they would have to be registered. You know, so basically, immigration minister was not in line with the Home Secretary and the Chancellor, which is also, you know, just proves that things are not aligned and not defined, and there is no deadline, because in fact by 2019 it's not so sure. They say that it should be before the next general elections, which in 2022, so that's 4 years away. So immigration policies will not be in place. The processes are too complicated to have this in place.
Roz, your thoughts on where?
Well, I think it's just so confused. There's nothing definite to say. You know, it depends who you speak to as to what people feel is going to happen. The only thing I did hear that I thought was good news was I understand Boris is thinking of resigning.
Boris is thinking of resigning from what, as foreign minister? Where did you get that one coming from?
Well, it was in the news broadcast.
Maybe
it was a threat. Or was it a promise?
But I mean, we're looking at the new studies in immigration already about a year. Again, many saying it's too late to study the situation now. I mean, we're saying we should have this type of immigrant, that type of immigrant. You can come in, but you can't come in. We need the fruit pickers, we need the labourers, and we need doctors and nurses. Nathan?
Well, as soon as the government announced that this study was being put into effect and the results would come out, I think, sometime next year, it became very political, and everyone who is anti-government or anti-whatever said, oh, well, it's too late, this should have already been decided. But in reality, this is the kind of thing that isn't going to matter what's decided until the UK does get control of its borders and then can say, you can come in, you can't, you can come in under these rules or these conditions or whatever. Now's as good a time as any to decide what those rules will be whenever the UK gets control of its borders. And we don't know. What we were just saying is, some say it's 2019, some say it's 3 years after 2019. But yes, there has to be a plan. And this is the obvious failing of so many in so many major things. The whole Brexit vote, the people who wanted Brexit so desperately, once they won, had absolutely no way and no plan to get what they wanted beyond the referendum. And it's no different in the U.S. The Republicans in the U.S. Congress, who for 7 years railed against Obamacare and said, this must be thrown out, it's the most horrible thing that's ever happened, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They are now in a position to do that, but they forgot to make a plan of what they are going to do in its place. And so they have nothing, and as it has gone through or tried to go through Congress, it has come out that, well, there is no plan and certainly nothing that's any better than there. Not that there isn't something better. Obamacare needs to be refined, fixed, changed in a lot of different ways. But the Republicans, who just, you know, came up with the political slogan, repeal and replace, when they got the chance to do it, have nothing to replace it with. And we're dealing with that you know, in the UK now, the same idea. You come up with the slogan and then forget to do the homework and have the plan.
No, it was just a comment on Obamacare and why when the Congress, when they were discussing it, it was such a secret event. No women involved in it. Nobody knew what was, and then they were supposed to vote on it. A very strange situation.
Indeed, but also there was the announcement yesterday that there would be no free movement of EU nationals into the UK after 2019. Now this maybe raises the specter of having the same thing happening with Brussels. Brussels may now say, okay, well, if you're going to play that card, we may make it more difficult for UK nationals to move into Europe. Your thoughts?
The point is, once Brexit happens, there will, unless things change dramatically from what everybody is kind of accepting is going to happen, there won't be any free movement. You won't be able to just go to Europe from the UK or go from Europe to the UK the same way other people can't now. I mean, if you are not part of the EU now, you don't have free movement into any of these countries except within Schengen.
Yeah, but you can't freely go into the UK from Europe now anyway in the EC.
Yes,
you have to go. No, you can't. You have to show your passport.
And we've got some callers on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning. It's Felix again here. Okay?
Yes, hello? Yes, Felix.
Right. Sorry, just checking that you can hear me because I'm ringing from an iPad. The issue in this election for Brexit is very similar to the issue in America and I think in Venezuela as well. There's a tendency in the world now that if an election or a poll is taken, that those who lose disregard the result and campaign as if it hadn't happened. Now, I would remind the people on your panel there that the next step to dismissing parliamentary democracy, it's either two. It's either revolutionary socialism has happened in October 1917, or it is fascism. And I want to throw in one other point, which was relevant to the Brexit campaign, which was very, very much in the centre of England and in Wales about immigration. This is a statistic that was published about 3 weeks ago by the Office of Statistics, which is a body that was set up, an official body that was set up by Gordon Brown, and it's independent, set up in such a way that it is independent. One of the details that I picked up on was that of all the mothers giving birth in 2016, 29.2% of those mothers were not born in England.
Yes.
That's, I repeat that because I find it very difficult to take on board. 29.2% of all mothers giving birth in Britain in 2016 were not born in the country. I thought that was terribly significant, and it will show what Brexit was about and also how a country can lose its being, its soul, its culture, its borders, in very, very, very short time. I'd like that discussed, that figure, if it's possible.
Okay.
Thanks.
Felix, thank you for your calls in.
I'd like to know where the figure came from. Where did Felix tell
us? Yes, Office of Statistics set up by Gordon Brown, or a think tank set up by Gordon Brown there. So 952-78-4000, the phone number. Studio at talkradioeurope.com is the email. The Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe Official.
Discuss.
You have a very complicated system.
Inform.
And whatever system you're in, that's the one that you have to accept.
Comment.
My prediction is chaos with that.
Viewpoint.
The good thing about viewpoint is it's all about opinions, and that's the good thing about humans. We all have opinions.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
I'm almost expecting to read no at the end of it. It's so childish.
Tell us what your opinion is on what's happening today.
People are much more aware than they used to be.
Join Viewpoint every Tuesday at 10 o'clock to get your view across.
Maybe in 18 months' time, we'll look back and say this was possibly the start of something big.
Listening to Viewpoint with me, Giles Brown. Got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
My name is Robert.
Good morning, Robert.
I'm from Meath. I think the biggest problem with Brexit is the total uncertainty and also the total lack of clarity from the British government as to exactly where they want to go. At the moment, you have got factions, not only the people who live in the EU, Brits, and the EU people who live in Britain, fulfilling many vital jobs like in the National Health Service, etc., etc. They haven't placated their views in any way or their concerns. That is the biggest problem. And the other problem is you have got within the UK a divided number of industrialists who want to stay in. You have got uncertainty of their future. And this is the biggest problem. They're all waffling on, arguing about 3 years or 10 years or 4 years or whatever you like of a transition. It doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't clarify it for the individual. And it's the individual who is at stake. And it's the individual that will be affected by the machinations of the British government with Europe and coming out with a deal that may suit the British government, but it may not suit the individuals.
Thank you. Thank you, Robert.
Nathan.
He's right. It does affect individuals on a very personal level in so many ways. But when you get down to governments, I mean, they negotiate for masses and groups and whatever, and it gets away from that feeling. But the problem really, I think, is not going to be so much the agreement with the EU, because if, and assuming this happens, Brexit happens at some point, Britain will have control over its borders. The question then is what's being argued right now. All right, once they have control, what are they going to do with that control? And that is the real question. They have control now over their borders with people coming from anywhere but the EU. If you are coming from the EU, you can go into the UK, and yes, you have to show your passport, but the UK cannot just say you can't come in. If you are from another country that is not part of the EU, they can let you in or they can say no. They can say you have to fill out 87 pages of paperwork and you have to be vetted this way or that way to come into the country, and we're only going to allow X number of people in. They can say that with EU people once Brexit happens, but they've got to decide, excuse me, as a country, what those rules are going to be.
We've got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning. It's Paul.
Morning, Paul.
Now, what Nathan said was right. It's not about the European people that are going into Europe, going into England. It's 90% of them are not even European, from the European countries. I mean, there's photographs of these, and it's just blokes that are just leaving Africa and wanting to get on the gravy train and get free social in Britain. Britain is an easy target. You take majority of the European people that have gone to Europe from Spain, gone to Britain from Spain or Poland, they're all in jobs and they're working. But all these migrants that are trying to get into Britain from these other countries. I mean, there was one guy, he's went from Syria to Britain. He's got 5 wives and 14 children.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, that's what's causing the problem.
No, actually, it's not what's causing the problem. Britain has let in far less refugees than almost any other country in the EU. They've let in something like 100,000 maximum, instead of 2 million, which is what Germany let in.
Nathan.
Well, we're not talking about refugees necessarily, although that's part of it. But if you're talking about and he's talking about people from Africa. Well, they are not EU citizens, so what he is talking about is illegal immigrants. That is a different problem. The UK has to decide how it is going to deal with illegal immigrants, which are a different situation once they control their borders. I mean, they can now keep out illegal immigrants. The EU can keep out illegal immigrants. The question is, do you do it, and how do you do it?
And we've got another caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please? And as my Welsh grandmother used to say, and there he was gone. 952-78-4000, the phone number. Studio at talkradioeurope.com is the email, and the Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official if you wish to get involved with Viewpoint. Live here from the studios of TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain. Coming up at 11 o'clock, we'll have the international news, followed by an update on the Spanish news from Bob James. And then we're going to be back for the second hour of Viewpoint, with me, hosted by me, Giles Brown, with my guests Nathan Thomas, Roslyn Scott Gibb, and Yas Agar. As I said before, if you wish to leave a Facebook post or email us on studio at talkradio.com. Coming up in the second hour, we'll be discussing more about Brexit as well as the contentious issue of the Diana tapes, the publishing of those tapes after 20 years after the death of Diana, Princess of Wales, still making the front pages in today's newspapers. We'll be discussing that, as I said before. 952-78-4000, the phone number. Studio at talkradioeurope.com is the email. International news at the top of the hour, followed by the Spanish news, and then back for more Viewpoint here on TRE.